Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. We're in the book of Colossians, and we carry on with our study of Colossians chapter 2. And yesterday we were saying about this great conflict that Paul has been having for the church. Church in Laodicea and the church in Colossae, and even for those who have not seen his face in the physical, in the flesh. Now, it's interesting when Paul starts to speak about the flesh and the spirit, and he is encountering this church from a distance. And that's something that at times we will find and ask ourselves literally, what did he mean by that? That is to tell you that there was a way that Paul traveled in the spirit. And today we'll be able to see how he says that even though I was absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. And one of the things that we see about the mysteries of the new life is that God gives us the ability to move in other dimensions. Now, why do I say that? You can think about what Paul says, that I know I'm contesting for you, for those who have not seen me in the flesh, those who have not seen me. And what does he pray? He prays that their hearts may be encouraged, that they may be knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So yesterday we spoke about the mystery of God, and of which we spoke about of the Father and of Christ, and where we spoke about the Godhead, where we have the Father, we have Christ, and then we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling in the hearts of the believers, and the Father and the Son sitting on the thrones in heaven. And in heaven there are thrones. So there is the throne of the Ancient of Days, who is the Father, and there is the throne of the Son of Man, who is Christ. And the throne of the Son of Man is at the right hand of the Father, and that is where Christ is seated. But Christ, the Son of Man, is not seated there alone. He is seated with us. He is seated with us in his glorious and resurrected body. He's seated there as a man for us. The Bible says, just as he is, so are we in this present world. There is a glorification, and that is why Jesus has a legal authority, because he has a body. The Word became flesh. He has a body. He is able to come on the earth, and he has legal access to be on the earth. Now, let us read in verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4 it says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Now, Paul is very keen to warn the church. Yes, I know you learned from Epaphras. Yes, I know you were taught the scriptures. You knew about Christ. I want you to be rooted in Christ, to understand him more. But you have to take care that it is possible that someone, through deception, through persuasion, through philosophy, and here he's speaking about those that come using words. You know, there are people that are great speakers, and yeah, maybe you might have encountered them, and most are actually politicians. They have a way with words. They can speak and everyone is moved. There is a charisma to them. Now, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But you see, those that are given, there is a way that they can easily use it for wrong. You can find these charismatic people, they can easily rally people towards a cause. But the question is, if it is the wrong course, then they can easily rally people in the wrong direction. Now it says, verse 4, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Paul's preaching were never about the persuasion of words. He was never about eloquence, but his messages came with a manifestation of power. And what the Holy Spirit did is that he worked holy emotions in the hearts of the hearers, that they knew there was a burning. You know, when the word of God comes to you mightily, what God does is that he gives you a sensation in your inner man. There is a burning that you also experience. You can think about the disciples on the road from Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus. As they talked among themselves, Jesus joined them. And Jesus asked what they were talking about, and they said, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem?" But then Jesus spoke to them, showing to them from the Psalms, from the prophets, from the law, how the Christ was to suffer. And eventually, when they get to the point of breaking bread and Jesus disappeared, they say something. They said, "Were our hearts not burning as he spoke, as he opened the scripture?" So that was a witness. That was a holy emotion. So there are things that God does in the hearts of the hearers that confirm to you that you are in the right place, that you're listening to the voice of God. And so he says that, "For me, when I preached to you, that it was not deception of persuasive words." Verse 5, "For though I am absent in the flesh," says, "I am absent in the flesh, I am absent in the body." Remember, Paul has not met this church. He knows that they had the gospel from Epaphras, our beloved brother. But then he's contending for them in the faith. And he says, "Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit." And he says, "Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Now, he's saying, there's this concept of traveling in the Spirit. Now, Paul is not with them, but you see, his Spirit is able to move and to be with them. That's why he says, "Although I'm absent to you in the flesh, I'm present with you in spirit." And he says, when he is present, where they're praying, in Laodicea, in Colossae, he's saying he can see their good order and their steadfastness of their faith in Christ. Think about, was it Elisha and Gehazi? Now, Naaman comes to bring gifts so that he can be healed. And Elisha tells him, "Go and bathe in the river Jordan. And after you have bathed, you shall dip yourself 7 times and you will come out clean." And he does that. And when he comes back to give a reward to Elisha, Elisha tells him, "No, I don't need anything. Take back everything you came with and go back." And Naaman says, "Yes, I know now the God of Israel is the true God. Allow me one thing. Can I just take soil from this land that I can use it as a contact point of worship, you know, as I pray to this God? And even when my master prays to his heathen gods and he's leaning on my hands, allow me." And he was told, "Go ahead, there's nothing." But you see, Gehazi, who was Elisha's servant, decides to follow through, decides to go back on his own and runs after Naaman had left and said, "Oh, some visitors came. My master is asking for some sacks of items that you brought, some gold, some clothes, and all that." And he does that. And Naaman gives him. But you see, when he comes back to the house, Elisha asks him a question. He asks him, "Where have you come from?" And Elisha said, "Nothing. I've not done anything." And then he tells him, "Was my spirit not with you when the commander, when Naaman got down from his chariot, when you met him, and when you picked those items and you hid them?" He tells him, "Was my spirit not with you?" That means that Elisha moved through the Spirit in the same way, and he was able to go and see Gehazi receiving those items. Now, Paul is speaking of the same concept, and he's saying that Although I'm absent in the flesh, I am present with you in spirit. I am seeing your good order. I am seeing your love for Christ and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. There, these are dimensional truths. Now, what does happen when this happens? It's actually just a work of the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and how it comes, it just comes by the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And as you sit to meditate on the Word of God, as you sit to think, as you sit to imagine, you know, paint a picture in your head, and you can think through and deeply think through, and what God will do is that He will carry you in the Spirit, and you're able to behold. Now, the easiest place that people are carried is in their dreams. You know, you see things that God shows you, and you clearly have been somewhere before. Now, I've not experienced this as much, but I have at some point. But there are those that who experience, and Kenneth Hagin is one of those that says that he will experience it quite much, especially as he preached. And he says the first time that he experienced it is that he was preaching, and as he preached, then he went to another town. He saw, you know, he saw a woman coming, and there are many. Hagin has experienced that. I mean, he sees the case of someone and they follow through. And he, in the physical, he was preaching, but in the spirit, he was carried elsewhere. And he saw, then he came back, and then he called out the person, you know, and eventually the person receives their healing. Brother Schambeck does the same, where he is in a meeting and he's preaching, and he says, I'm in a car, you know, I've gone to this city, I see a woman with a child, and I see them moving, and they're in this church now, and they're here, and he calls them out. So these are things that you don't really look for. You know, there's a danger in looking for these things, because when you do it, you can actually end up in the wrong place. And you can end up encountering things you should not encounter. But the maturity of the Spirit in this is that it is the Holy Spirit that is your guide. He's the Word of God that is a foundation. He's the one that gives you these experiences. And He enables you to see things, to experience things that are not where you are. And Paul has this experience where he's able to watch through of the Colossian and the Laodicean churches, and is able to see their good order and their steadfastness in the Spirit. Now, these are just realities. But anyway, sticking back to the Word, he says, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So his desire for them is that, I want you to be rooted and built up in Christ, just as you have received Christ. Since I have seen your order, your good order and your steadfastness in the Spirit, even though I'm absent with you in the flesh, I am present with you in the Spirit. Think about it when he tells the Corinthian churches that, you see, this man that is has slept with his father's wife on the day of the Lord, and I am with you in spirit, hand this man over to Satan. So he was saying that I will be there, I will be present, my spirit will be with you, hand this man over to Satan, and that man is excommunicated. So he's telling them that when you are rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as you have been taught and abounding in it, that means that you can continue to increase in the faith. You can continue to increase in your understanding, in truth and with thanksgiving. Then he says, then you shall beware that any man does not cheat you, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, that's meaning Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You see, when we receive Christ, we are called to walk in him. You walk in Christ, then you are rooted and built up in him, and you will be established in your faith just as you are taught. Teaching is what establishes believers. That which God teaches you through his servants is what will establish you. When you think about the early church, daily they met in their homes. They followed the apostles' doctrine and prayer and the breaking of bread and fellowship. And day by day, God increased their numbers. They shared their possessions. There was joy in the Lord. There was generosity among themselves. All this was the result of the presence of the Holy Spirit, of them being rooted in Christ. When you are rooted, then that means that you cannot be shaken, you cannot be deceived, you cannot be confused by philosophies, by the traditions of men. You see, the Pharisees are after the traditions of men. What are traditions of men? Traditions of men are rules set by men that are not even in the scriptures. You can think of some false churches where they have false teachings and they insist on people not marrying, they insist on people, you know, not eating certain kinds of food, you don't do this, at night you don't do this. You find it's just rule after rule after rule. And yet these are the things that Christ did away. With his coming, he gave us one rule: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, which is like it, which is love your neighbor as yourself. The foundation of the new creation is love. Everything else stems from it. That means that if you're to prophesy in the absence of love, then you are a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. The foundation of our faith is based on love. And so he that is rooted in Christ, is rooted in love, then will not be shaken by philosophies. You'll not be shaken by traditions of men, by the doctrines, the philosophies of men. You know, philosophy is about persuasion, is about thinking. You know, there are those that want to use sociology and all these psychological approaches to debating and all that. But you see, the kingdom of God is never a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. Power, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is expressed in power. The kingdom of God is... foundation is Christ, and we cannot lay any other foundation apart from Christ. Let us be established, let us be rooted. When we are rooted, then we become men, because now we understand Christ is the foundation and fulfillment of all things. In him, he is the head of all principalities and powers. Whenever you face whatever challenges in any place, know Christ is the head of all principalities and powers. And he has given you his authority. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on the earth is loosed in heaven. Stand firm with truth. Stand firm on what God has said. And you shall be established. Let God be our guide. Let God be our strength. Let God be our purpose. I pray that, O God, will keep you, sustain you, watch over your life, protect you from every evil hand of the evil one. As he is the head over everything, O God, may he be head over your life. May he be your provider. He is faithful. He is holy. He is gracious. I pray for wisdom, that our foundations, that our roots may be in Christ and not in philosophy of persuasion of men or charisma of men or the giftings of men, but let us stand in truth and experience the love of Christ in all things, rooted and established in Christ. Paul's prayer for the Colossian church must also be our prayer today. May God help us to stand firm, be guided and directed by Him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.